Tonight, we're talking about heaven. Great subject. You can't exhaust it. The quartet sings a song, I could sing about heaven for a million years and never get the story told. And that's fact. Just a little bit of research I did real quickly today as I could. I mean, I got 8 pages of stuff. There ain't no way I'm going to plow through that. And that just scratches the surface of heaven that the Bible talks about. What I want to do is I want to fill you all with the hope that I know you already have, but it's always good to rekindle the hope. It's always good to come up and hear it all over again because it gets us excited. You know, when we talk about dying and death, I mean, you know, let's face it, it's a downer. You know, none of us want to die. None of us want to be dead, you know, in our minds. But here's the thing. Christians never die. Christians will never see death. That's a fact. The Bible says it. Brother Larry has preached it over and over and over, and I mean, that's a theme for him for sure. But it is a fact. The Christians will never see death, never taste it. They won't know that they're dead. Got it? We won't know that. But here's the thing. You go, you know, your loved one passes on, and you go and you sit down at the funeral home and you make the arrangements for them, and there they are in this box. You pick out the casket, there they are in the box. And, you know, sometimes you say, oh, they look bad. And sometimes you say, man, they look 20 years younger. It's, you know, it's amazing what you hear and what you see at a funeral. When I was reading scripture today, one of the things that Paul talked about, he talks about people that are at funerals, and he basically says, we're Christians, and, you know, we're not like these people that wail and gnash their teeth that have no hope. You know, we've got a living hope. That's what Paul talks about. We have a living hope, and his name is Jesus. Jesus being the hope. Well, here's the thing. Jesus has made a promise to all Christians, everybody that put their faith and belief in him. Jesus made a promise, and his promise is, I'm going to take you with me. Where I am, you will be also. Now, we always sit down and we wonder, how will heaven be? Well, that's what I want to talk to you tonight about, and I've got a lot of scripture, and I'm going to read kind of fast to get through some of this stuff. But then I want to talk to you all about what do you think heaven's going to be like and why do you think it? When we sang these songs, I'll just go through the songs real fast. When the roll is called up yonder, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound. We know that the trumpet's going to sound because it's in the Bible. I'm going to read you the scripture about the trumpet sounding, going to call the saints home. And time shall be no more, all right? That God's going to say, yep, that's it. That's all for right now. And you're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. And the next verse says, when the dead in Christ shall rise. Now, that's an issue. If we're dead, how are we going to rise? And if we're dead, does that mean that we're not in heaven while we're dead? That's confusing, isn't it? Well, hopefully I'll not confuse you any further tonight, and we'll clear that up. The quick answer is, you're not dead. You're not dead. You're alive, all right? Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. Jesus told his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and I'll gather you to myself. So Jesus himself is giving us a guarantee that he's preparing a place in his Father's house, in the kingdom of heaven, and that he's going to come and he's going to usher us in to our new home. I like that idea. I like Jesus personally ushering me in and saying, Randy, you like it? It's nice, huh? Yeah, I like it, Jesus. That's pretty cool. You know, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Think about what I told you at the beginning. When we're millions upon millions upon millions of angels and saints in the throne room of God, think about this great multitude. Have you ever been to a concert and, you know, the band that you're listening to is playing your favorite song and everybody in the whole place is singing along and then they stop singing. The band stops singing. And then you just hear that everybody's singing and it's like, man, this is so cool. At Christian concerts where they're singing songs about Jesus, that's even better, you know. You hear this, you know, 10,000, 15,000, however many people just singing songs about Christ, about God, how awesome is our God. And it just puts chills up and down your spine. Well, if that's the way it works here on earth, how much better is it going to be when you're in the place where they're talking about? When you're in the home that we all are waiting to see? Better than anything you can imagine ever. There's a land that's fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. We have faith that God is going to allow us to have a taste of heaven while we're still here. And that just gets us, you know, our taste buds whetted for, man, I want the meat of this. I want the real deal. Let's quit talking about it, Jesus. I don't want to go. And then we kind of come to our senses in a way, and it's like, oh, in order to go, I got to die. That's a bummer, Jesus. And it is. You know, as children, we have no concept of death as children. Even as adults, a lot of us have very little concept of death. I mean, we actually, you know, see people that we know, loved ones that have died and went on before. And all we see is the suffering that they went through a lot of times, or maybe it was sudden. But we see them in this casket and we're thinking, man, that's so final. You know, we put it in the ground, or we put it in a vault, or we cremate the body, but they're gone, you know. And our minds, we're thinking, that is not good. Well, Jesus, he knows that. He knows that, that we feel that way. We were never designed to die. When I get to heaven, I want to talk to Adam and Eve. Say, now you messed it up for all of us. We had to suffer because of you. Hey, guys, come on in. But I am. I'm going to find them. That's first on my list. And, you know, what is the deal? Why did we have to suffer because of you? But you know what the Bible actually says is that God had a plan, and that the plan was that he would know that Adam and Eve was going to sin. And it was before he ever created the world. It's from the foundation, before the foundation of the world was made. So, when we are talking about ourselves being sojourners here on this earth, that the earth is not our home, or that's not our true home. We're just passing through. So where are we passing through to? First of all, we need to understand and we need to realize and recognize heaven is a real place. It's not some ethereal, it's out there somewhere. Heaven can be defined in a lot of ways. Where is heaven? Where's heaven? Somebody tell me. When you think of it, when I say, if a little kid come up to you and said, up, that's right, it's up. It's up there. How do you know that, Shirley? How do you know it's up there? Christ ascended? Yeah? Do what? All right. And he's coming down. Well, listen to this. I just picked a few verses real quick to let you know it is up. John 17:1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. So Jesus himself is looking up. So he knows where heaven is. It's up. Revelation 4:1 says this, after I looked, this is John talking, after I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven. So he's looking up. And the first voice which I heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after this. Paul talking about his experience of going to heaven, although Paul, you know, even though he talks a lot about doctrinal stuff and things, he never really says a lot about what he saw, all right? He kind of held out on us a little bit. But 2 Corinthians 12:2 says this, I know a man in Christ, it's him, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Now, think about, what is the third heaven? First heaven is the blue sky. Second heaven is the stars. Third heaven's where God's at, all right? That's what he's talking about. That's third heaven. So I knew a man 14 years ago who was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. So to him, it seemed like he was in the body, but he's thinking, how is that possible? But he doesn't know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. So whenever Paul was taken up to heaven, and he, you know, again, He's not a show-and-tell kind of guy. He doesn't tell us what he saw, all right? But he tells us, I was up in heaven, and I got caught up in heaven, and it seemed like I was in my body. But he's saying, I don't know if I was in the body. You know, maybe I was having a vision, but it was so real if it was a vision that it seemed like I was in the body. All right, so he was experiencing things in heaven as a place. You know, it wasn't some, you know, bunch of clouds and harp music. It was a place. All right, so we know that heaven is a place. A couple other things. Revelation 21:1 says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and the sea was no more. If John's saying there's a new heaven and a new earth, then there had to be an old heaven and an old earth. We're on the old earth right now, right? This is all going to go away. Who cares? I mean, we're going to be in the new heaven. That's all good. Even the new, can you imagine? God is continually going to be creating throughout all eternity. He still is. He's still at work. That's what Jesus is. He says, my Father is at work. I must be at work too. So what's God doing? He's creating. He's doing things. But God is going to take everything that he formed from the first, and he's going to wipe it all away, and he's going to make something new. He doesn't tell us what the new thing is, but the new thing, whatever it is, will be better than the old. It always is, isn't it? Version 2.0 is always better than version 1.0. You never buy the very first piece of software that comes out, ever. You don't do that. You always want the second version when they fix the bugs. Not saying that God messed up. He said it was very good. Yeah, well, that's another sermon right there. Isaiah 6:1, Isaiah went to heaven, and he says this, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe, now the train of his robe is like, ladies, you got married and you had that long dress with the long train. Well, back in the day, the kings, they had their robes and they had long, you ever see The Wizard of Oz, and you see how the Cowardly Lion puts on the carpet and has a long train, and Dorothy and that scarecrow get it, and they're kind of, you know, prancing behind him with it. That's a train, all right? It's not, I hear the train coming. That's not what this is. He had a train of his robe. It filled the temple. Somehow this whole train filled the temple. So, again, they're talking about a physical place. He's talking about, I'm in a place that looks like a temple. You know, probably looks similar to the temple in Jerusalem. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. So he's feeling a tremor, you know, as these angels are booming out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He's feeling the place start to shake. So it's a physical place that he's describing. Daniel 7:9 says this, as I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. Now the Ancient of Days is the Father. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him, and a thousand thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. So Daniel is seeing in a vision something very similar to what John saw when he described heaven in Revelation. So again, they're describing physical things. They're not describing, they may not understand what these physical things are that they're looking at, but they're putting them in terms of what they would understand. It looked like this. It felt like this. Smoke filled the room. They would smell the smoke. They would smell the incense that was coming from the altar. You know what the incense is in heaven? The prayers of the saints. Every time that we lift prayers up, it is incense in heaven. Isn't that cool? Now, this is a little bit long, so bear with me. This is Ezekiel, and Ezekiel is describing, this isn't in heaven, he's actually on the earth, but he's being visited by the Lord. Now, this is what he's saying. This is Ezekiel 1:4. As I looked, behold, a stormy wind came out from the north, and a great cloud with brightness around it, and fire flashing forth continually, and in the midst of the fire as if it were gleaming metal. That description, you ever see the movie Independence Day? Then you see the spaceship when it first comes, it's all this billowing cloud and smoke and everything, and then the spaceship kind of comes out from it, but it's all got this light and everything. I can kind of see this. Now, I'm not saying that God's in a spaceship. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying this is something that I can relate to in terms of how it looked to me. And from the midst of it came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had a human likeness, but each had four faces, and each of them had four wings. All right, so think of face. All right, that's what they had. And they all had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of a calf's foot. So it's hoofed. And they sparkled like burnished bronze. Under their wings on their four sides, they had human hands, and the four had their faces and their wings thus. Their wings touched one another. Each one of them went straight forward without turning as they went. As for the likeness of their faces, each had a human face. The four had the face of a lion on the right side. The four had the face of an ox on the left side. And the four had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. And their wings were spread out above. Each creature had two wings, each of which touched the wings of the other, while two covered their bodies. And each went straight forward. Wherever the Spirit would go, all right, this is the Holy Spirit, wherever the Spirit would go, they went without turning as they went. So you've got like this box configuration, all right? Four creatures touching side to side in a box, and they always go forward, all right, as far as the creature is. The creature themselves not turning. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, so they glowed. Like the appearance of torches moving to and fro among the living creatures. So there's fire within the fire that's moving around these living creatures within this box that they're forming. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures darted to and fro like the appearance of a flash of lightning. So bang, bang. You know, that's that fast. They're there, then they're there. All right? Great distances that they would travel extremely fast. Just like a bolt of lightning. You see it, and it goes all the way across the sky. That's how fast these creatures were moving. Now, as I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the earth beside the living creature, one for each of the four of them. As for the appearance of the wheels and their construction, their appearance was like the gleaming of beryl. And the four had the same likeness, their appearance and construction being as it were a wheel within a wheel. So imagine, you know, kind of two rings locked, wheel within a wheel. So it can move any direction circular. It could move 360 degrees, and the wheels would move that way or this way. Kind of like a gyroscope, yeah. All right. When they went in any of their four directions without turning as they went, and their rims were tall and awesome, and the rims of all four were full of eyes. So on the rims of the wheels had eyes all around. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them, and when the living creatures rose from the earth, the wheels rose. Wherever the Spirit wanted to go, they went, and the wheels rose along with them, for the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Now, I want to give you some food for thought here. Remember when Jesus says, when he's entering into Jerusalem and people are shouting, Hosanna, you know, blessed is the king that comes to Jerusalem. And the Pharisees and Sadducees, they're saying, you need to quiet these people down. And he says, if they don't speak, the rocks will cry out. All things are alive to God. We think of rock and materials like this as we call them inanimate objects. We don't see life in them. But to God, there is life in everything. Everything that God touches, there is life. Now, you say, Randy, how do you know that? I'm really kind of using a supposition here. I can't sit here and tell you that the Bible specifically says that. But you think about what the Bible does say. Whether it's the psalmist that's describing the mountains talking to one another, the trees speaking, the praises of God, the flowers of the field. Now, yes, I'll grant you that you can say, you know, that is one thing they're living. Well, the mountains, you probably wouldn't say that. But God gives you this sense when you read all these things about the sea, about everything that is talked about in the Bible, you get this sense that they all praise God, that they all give glory to God in some way, and not just, like we say, you're, you know, like a lump on a log, or you're, you know, as still as a stone. You know, it's not that. We see that, but God sees life, and there is life in all things. This mechanical type stuff is living. Over the heads of the living creatures, there was the likeness of an expanse shining like awe-inspiring crystals spread out above their head. So think of a real clear piece of quartz or glass spread out above. But think of the glass or quartz as sparkling, crystally, you know, sparkle. And under the expanse, their wings were stretched out straight one toward another, and each creature had two wings covering its body. And when they went, I heard the sound of their wings, like the sound of many waters, like the sound of the Almighty, a sound of tumult, like the sound of an army. When they stood still, they let their wings down. And there came a voice from above the expanse over their heads when they stood still and they let down their wings. And above the expanse, this crystal expanse, over their heads, there was a likeness of a throne, in appearance like sapphire. And seated above the likeness of a throne was a likeness with a human appearance. And upward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw as it were gleaming metal, like the appearance of fire enclosed all around. And downward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw as if it was the appearance of fire, and there was brightness around him. Like the appearance of the bow that is in the clouds on the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness all around. Such was the appearance of the likeness and the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard the voice of one speaking. I know that was a lot, but we don't hear in church too often Ezekiel. And I wanted you to hear this because it tells us that men have observed in minute detail the things of God, that God hasn't made everything secret to us, that he has given us glimpses of what his world in heaven is like. Now, this contraption, if you want to call it that, this conveyance, this chariot, is how God got around on that particular day anyway. You know? And so that's how he came to earth, and that's how he got around. Now, the four living creatures, they're mentioned again almost in exact same detail in Revelation chapter 4. And I'm not going to read all of it, but basically, John talks about the exact same thing. So here you have two men, Ezekiel and John the Revelator, talking about seeing the exact same thing. Now you can say, well, John could have read Ezekiel, and he probably had. But he described it in such detail that Ezekiel had, and he also described it in context with everything else that he saw. And so it comes across as this is his experience. Heaven got a lot of people there, got a lot of beings in heaven. Heaven's populated by the saints, the angels, living creatures, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 12:22 says this, but you have come to Mount Zion. Now, Mount Zion is a lot of times used as another name for heaven. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. So the writer of Hebrews is telling us that when you get to heaven, all these people are going to be there. Now, one thing I like, the description of the angels having a party. You know, I don't know what your description of angels are. A lot of people, when they think of angels, well, get away from the, you know, the pictures of the, you know, fat, chubby things with babies with wings. That's not real. But I think a lot of times angels in heaven as being very awesome looking. They are. I mean, the cherubim and the seraphim, they are awesome angels. But evidently, the regular angels beneath them are just somebody that you can kind of relate more to. They're not as awesome looking. They're more look like us, evidently. And whenever they come to the earth, they take on human form, all right? And so, but what I like is this. When you come to heaven, it's a place where there's a festive gathering. It's not, you know, sadness. It's not a place where there's a lot of quiet and meditation going on. There's singing, and there's laughing, and there's jubilation, and there's praising. And it's unending. It never ends. Now, you might think, man, I'm going to get tired of that. I don't know. Maybe when you get to your room, it has that, you know, dampening stuff, and you don't hear all of it, and you can, you know. I don't know. I haven't been there. Can't say. But I like the idea that it's going to be a fun place to be. It's not going to be one of these places that you're going to say, you know, I wish I really hadn't come. This is not the best vacation that I've ever been on. We've all experienced those kind of vacations where you go and you think you're going to have a good time and things go horribly wrong. Or they go just kind of so-so and you're like, I'm not going back to that place. Heaven will not be a place like that. Heaven will be a place where we will want to stay and never leave. You know, when we go to heaven, when we close our eyes and we open their eyes, do you really think that we're going to close the eyes? I don't know. I mean, you know, you kind of hear that. But maybe we just go into it wide open, you know? You know, you're taking that last breath, and your body's taking the last breath, but you're already gone. And you're just, you know, oh, I see you, Jesus, and yeah, let's go. I like that idea, and I think that that's scriptural. I really do. I don't think that it's going to be a struggle to get out of this body. I don't. So, like so many Christian funerals that we go to, we all laugh and we talk and have a good time. Absolutely. Life eternal. Life eternal.
I've got a mansion just over the hill.
Amen. Amen. And you know the golden streets, they're actually transparent gold. They say that. That's cool too, isn't it? Transparent gold. Gold is gold, but it's just, you can see through it. Yeah, no, never old. All right. Daniel had a vision. And this is what this is Daniel 10, verse 11. And this, he's being visited, and the visitor says this, and he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved. I like that too, simply because we're greatly loved too. And this visitor, whoever this person is, in a way I think it's Jesus, but I can't sit here and tell you that, but you get the feeling kind of when you read Daniel that this is Jesus. It doesn't matter, it's an angel of some kind. Oh, Daniel, man greatly loved. Why would he say that? Because God says, I greatly love him. I love Daniel. You know, Daniel, I can't get enough of Daniel. I love this guy. And Jesus and God saying the same thing about every one of you all. I can't get enough of them. I love them. So insert your name. Oh, Marion, you know, just insert your name. Oh, whoever you are, man greatly loved, woman greatly loved. Understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. Now you tell me that prayer doesn't move God. This person, whoever he is sent by God Almighty himself to Daniel, because Daniel humbled himself before God and began seeking whatever it was that he was seeking. In this instance, Daniel is seeking wisdom from God. Your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. Now, he's not talking about a real king person. He's talking about some sort of angelic being. So evidently, even though we don't see him, there are angelic beings and probably demonic beings that have been assigned to countries, assigned to cities, assigned to watch over the world. We know that because it's talked about in the Old Testament. It's talked about in the New Testament. Whenever you hear Paul talk about thrones, dominions, principalities, he's talking about angelic beings. And he's also talking about the angels, the bad angels that got kicked out of heaven that are on the earth now. He's talking about them too. This person came from heaven and he was detained by one of the bad angels, the Prince of Persia, for 21 days. I want you to think about that, because that means that there's a war going on all the time around us, that we don't know what our part is in it, but our part is being played out. We're part of it. Because why would the angel of the Prince of Persia detain the angel of God if it wasn't to keep him from getting to Daniel in time? Listen, he says that Michael, the archangel Michael, is the prince of Israel. And he says that Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. And I came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come. Now I'm going to skip down to verse 20. Then he said, do you know why I have come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. Again, he's not talking about earthly king. He's talking about angelic beings. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side except Michael, your prince. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince, who has charge over your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. You could take that right there directly from Paul almost. I mean, it's almost the same kind of thing that Paul would say. That the angelic beings are, there's a war going on around us. And that someday God's going to call it all to an end. And he's going to, with a mighty shout and trumpet, he's going to have the dead rise. Some to everlasting life, to go to heaven. Folks, these people are already in heaven, all right? And some to go to hell. So what's our journey to heaven going to be like? What's it going to be like when we actually go? Paul does have something to say about this. This is 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep. And he's talking about people that have died. That you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Think about what Paul's saying. They're already there. They're already there. They're already in heaven. God's going to bring them with him when Jesus comes back. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. That's good news, folks. So it doesn't matter if your loved ones already went on and they're there. They're going to come back, and if you're still here, whenever you hear the trumpet sound, and you're up in the air, you're going to see them because they're going to be there too. Now, what are you talking about? You're talking about these bodies rising from the graves. The bodies, we're going to be given new bodies. You know, you're talking about never get old. We're not going to be old anymore. You're right. Our bodies are sowed. I'm going to read it to you in just a second. We're sowed corruptible in the ground. This is an analogy, but we're raised incorruptible. But who you are, remember what Larry tells us? He tells us that the bodies are vehicles. We're going to get a new vehicle. Who we are, we've already went to heaven. We're already there. It's not like we've been asleep for thousands of years until Jesus comes, whenever he comes. You know, the people that have died back in Daniel's day that were saints, they're not, their bodies are in the ground. They're dust. But that's okay, because God's going to take them and make new bodies and make this new body with their soul back together. And that's what they're going to be for the rest of eternity, whatever we're going to end up being. Listen to what Paul says. He actually talks about this. Well, first of all, Jesus says this. When he was dying on the cross and the thief was on the cross, you know, you're thinking, okay, this is confusing because they're talking about being dead, you're in the ground, you're dust, and you're going to get raised. Where are you at in the meantime? Paul talks about being asleep. You know, are we unconscious that whole time? No, we're not. Jesus says to the thief on the cross, after the thief on the cross said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus turns and looks to him and says, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, that thief died just like Jesus' body died. They were all dead to human eyes. But Jesus is making a statement, and he's saying, you need to believe it. Anytime Jesus says truly, or verily, if you're in the Old Testament, King James, anytime you see that, Jesus is adding emphasis to his words. And he says, this is the way it is. Today, right now, today, you will be with me in paradise. Paradise. Listen to what Revelation 2:7 says. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. The tree of life is in the paradise of God. That's where Jesus says that he's going to be whenever this person is next to him. He says, Jesus, remember me. 1 Peter says this. This is 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You understand what Peter is saying here? He's saying the inheritance for you is heaven. It's the kingdom of heaven. He's going to give you heaven. It's yours. Yours. You get it. You know, you think about, we had that lotto the other week, and it was, you know, however many millions, of, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, people were buying, somebody finally won it. But I'm going to give you heaven. I'm going to give it all to you.
Nothing any better.
Nothing. It's all yours. It's all yours. You can have it. And until you get there, I'm going to keep it safe. I'm going to keep it for you, and it's going to be safe. It's going to be pure. It's undefiled. Nobody's going to mess in heaven. It is perfect, and it's going to be there just for you. I like that. I like that a lot. We need to talk to each other about heaven. It's about 7, and I'm going to quit. I actually have 2 more pages. That's okay. Like I said, lots and lots of scriptures. But you can just, you know, like the song says, I can talk about it for 1,000,000 years and never get the story told. There's so many good things that we need to really talk to one another and remind one another about heaven, and it's for us. God says through his word that if he would not withhold his only son, what good thing would he ever withhold from us? So if he would allow Jesus, his only son, to die in our place on the cross, he's saying, because you put your faith and trust in Jesus, I'm going to give you the keys to heaven, and it is all yours. He's not saying it's mine and you're just kind of living there. He's saying it's yours. The inheritance is yours. That's tremendous. When we get there, it will be a festal gathering, and it'll always be that way. There's no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, ever. And one thing that the Bible does say, that the old things will never be remembered. The things that happened in the past will never be remembered. So I don't really know. I can't sit here and say, well, I know exactly what that means. All I know is it means that there's comfort in that for us. The hurts of this life that we go through, the pain that we've endured, the suffering, the trials, the tribulations of life, when we get to heaven, you're not going to remember them. It's not going to be brought up, and it's not ever going to be said anything about. Oh, man. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Amen. Anything else before we close? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And we thank you, Lord, that you've prepared a place for us that is beyond reckoning, that is beyond our wildest imagination, our wildest dreams, Father. And then it's just for us that, Lord, you love us that much that you would make this type of a place and say it's for you. Father, let us encourage one another with your word. Let us encourage one another, Father, with the hope that you've instilled in our heart that we're going to be with you soon. And Lord, no matter what we endure here on the earth, let us always glorify your name in the name of your Son, because our suffering is light and momentary, Father. But heaven is forever. We love you. We thank you, Lord. These things we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.